This morning's public read comes from 1 Samuel chapter 15 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Going to be reading verses 16, let me check here, to 35. So we'll be putting a period temporarily on chapter 15. Now, so far we have seen King Saul go from a good guy, a very humble man, a man that seemed to kind of control his passion. Because remember when he was crowned king, there was a certain group that didn't bring him any kind of presents, and some of his followers got a little upset. And what were Saul's words? "That's okay, be cool. It's all right. No problem. No need to get bent out of shape." So he was flying good. And then 2 years after that, it was simply a slide. And we've seen so far in our reading, as we've been progressing, he's gone from being good to having some issues, and really now losing touch with reality, it would seem. Ready? Verse 16. As I read, this is the word of the living God. "Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord had said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have done that which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." We got two different opinions there. "But the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which thou have that should have been utterly destroyed, the sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now that's very emphatic, very clear. It has nothing to do with the state of his soul. I think that's very telling. "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words, which I feared the people, and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away. He laid hold on the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Samuel said unto him, The Lord had rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and had given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." That's a good verse to remember. "Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. Samuel said, As thy soul hath made children, women, childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Wow. Wow. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Saul mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Please be seated. We're going to entitle this The Kingdom Rent. The Kingdom Rent. Beloved, there is so much here. There is so much here. But let's try to get the gist of it. This is when Samuel takes Saul to the proverbial woodshed, if you will, and basically tells him point blank, you messed up. Did you notice, let me see here, verse 19, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Look at verse 26. Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. So notice the gravity of King Saul's dilemma. What is the bottom line to all of our sins? Now, the motivation behind our sins from within us is our pride. Pride, self-gratification, and pride. That's the root. That's the conception of all of our sin, is the haughty, arrogant pride that's within all of us. But when we do commit these sins, what is this sin that we commit actually against whom? God Almighty. And how do we do the sin? We take the word of God that is so clear, and we look at it, and we trample upon it or across it. We transgress. Where God has drawn a line, we choose to walk over the line. And you know the terms, the sins of omission and commission. The sins that we do by walking over the line and not doing what we are told. Omission, commission, acts of each. And so notice, Saul's sin was that he took what Samuel gave him, Samuel's orders that heaven gave to Samuel to give to Saul. You're going to go in there and you are to destroy the Amalekites. Men, women, and children, they were to be destroyed. Verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, fight against them until they be consumed. Look at verse 18. That is the word of the Lord that King Saul rejected and disobeyed. That was his command. That was the word of God. Just like when God told Adam, in the day you eat, you die. That was the word of God given to our father Adam. Verse 18 is the word of God given to King Saul by Samuel, which Samuel received from heaven above. Did you also notice how King Saul blames the people? And then notice verse 24. Look at 24. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Okay, that sounds pretty good. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. So he acknowledges that he took the word of God and threw it behind his back. And thy words, I've also disobeyed you, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So there again, he goes so far with the apology, but then like Adam and Eve and like all of us, we begin to shift the blame to somebody else. He's the king. Why should he fear the faces of common folk? He's king. His word is law. Men could be killed on the word of a king. Isn't that amazing? And then also we have this beautiful passage in verse 22 to 23. And I want to make a comment that just popped off the page. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" Why is everybody clamoring for a third temple to be rebuilt? Why are those today clamoring that we have to build a third temple there in Jerusalem and bring back all the bloody sacrifices and all the trappings of that Levitical system? According to Samuel, God's greater delight is not the slaying of an animal and taking part of it and consuming it on an altar of fire. Behold, to obey is better than a bloody sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, yes, under the old economy, you had the bloody sacrifices. I understand that. And that was a temporary procedure under the old economy. Picture the old economy as babyhood, immaturity. Christ comes, his death on the cross fulfills every niche of the old covenant, every minute detail of the Levitical system. To the nth degree, Christ fulfilled it all. AD 70 hits, God removes not only the city, but that entire Levitical system, the temple complex, and all the trappings thereof. The church now is called the temple of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6. We are that temple. Made of hearts, not stone. Just an observation. From the lips of a prophet, God puts a greater premium on obedience than on bloody sacrifices. Well, once again, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Again, there's so much here, a little bit of time. Maybe you can also plow in deeper. But we do have, just in that passing, verse 28, Samuel said to him, "The Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and he has given it to a neighbor of thine," that would be David, "that is better than thou." Again, the question of whether or not Saul was saved. Here again, we see he lost the kingdom, but did he lose his soul? Was he saved and then lost? Or was he never saved in the first place? I imagine that debate will still continue. But all that I'm seeing that's being taken from him is not any loss of salvation if he was saved, but the loss of a throne. Well, again, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.